Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is recorded in John 3 and verse 1, what I just read. And Nicodemus was a religious leader of his day during the time of Jesus Christ, and he came to see Jesus one night. He came secretly by night to see Jesus because, of course, Jesus Christ was quite a controversial figure. And verse 2 says, the same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. You see, Nicodemus, like so many of the other people of the day, especially those religious leaders and the other people as well, but they knew there was something very special about Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus says here, well, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And yet, like so many others, Nicodemus didn't quite understand what was so special about Jesus Christ, and he didn't understand the plan of God. He goes on and says, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. So the miracles that Jesus Christ performed certainly created a lot of curiosity among the religious people of his day and even the other people as well, for that matter. And Nicodemus was one of them. But also, the message behind those miracles created a lot of curiosity. People did not understand the message. They didn't understand the plan of God and what this was all leading to and what really was behind Jesus Christ, behind his message and behind these miracles. Verse 3 then, Jesus begins to teach him about the message behind all of the miracles. Jesus answered and said, this is verse 3 of John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, remember, Jesus Christ brought a message to this earth from his Father, and that message was a message of good news, a message of great hope. And the word gospel means good news. Jesus Christ's gospel was the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what the message was about. You can find that written in Mark 1 and verse 14 and other places as well. But Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. It was a news proclamation, and it was good news. And it was a message from his Father about the kingdom of God. It was not a message about himself. It was not a message about the person of Christ. It was about a coming kingdom, a coming government that would rule over this earth. And Christ told Nicodemus here in verse 3, look, the only way that you're going to be a part of that coming kingdom or that coming world-ruling government and be part of the fulfillment of this message that Christ brought, the gospel message, the only way that you can be a part of that is to be born again. Now, this bewildered Nicodemus, this dumbfounded him. What does that mean, born again? How can that be? He wondered. And frankly, people have been bewildered by this ever since, just like Nicodemus was confused about it this night. Nicodemus, verse 4, said to Jesus, well, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he didn't understand what Christ was talking about, and he isn't the only one that hasn't understood this teaching of Jesus Christ, this teaching about being born again. Many people have been confused about this doctrine regarding being born again. But why couldn't Nicodemus understand this concept? And why do so many today misunderstand this concept? It stems from the fact that most people don't understand the gospel message about the kingdom of God itself. that Christ brought from his Father. And if you don't understand that, you really cannot comprehend what it does mean to truly be born again. Remember, in John 18, Jesus Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." You see, the kingdom that he's talking about, the government that he's talking about, is not of this world. It is not of man. So Nicodemus didn't understand the timing of this. He didn't understand the nature of it. And so therefore, he obviously would struggle with the concept of being born again. Verse 5, Jesus begins to explain this further. He answered Nicodemus' questions here in verse 4 this way. He said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So being born of water here is talking about baptism. And Christ here is teaching that we cannot be born of the Spirit, which is when we're born again, unless first we are born of water or baptized. You see, you go into that water and then you come out. But the main focus of what Christ is teaching here is about being born of the Spirit, being born again. Christ goes on in the next verse to define even further what he's talking about here. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now that's a very clear instruction explaining exactly what Christ was talking about. You can't get much more clear than that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How plain. Now, that which is born of the flesh is born through a physical birth. And you are a physical being. I am a physical being. We have all been born once. Now, once you're born again, once you're born a second time, then you are spirit. Now, if you're listening to this program and you're a human being, you are not spirit. I am not spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You see, flesh through a physical birth, we are physical beings. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is a spiritual birth, and you are a spiritual being once you're born again. You see, and that's why Christ says, unless you're born again, born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15 makes that clear as well. Verse 7, now Nicodemus, he's struggling with this concept. Christ makes it as perfectly clear as it can be there in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Here Christ is going to make it even more clear. The wind blows, verse 8, the wind blows where it lists or where it wills. And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. You see, it's invisible. You can't see it. You see the effects of it, but you don't see it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, why is it that so many professing Christians will argue that they are born again, and yet they are flesh? They're of the flesh. And Christ said in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We are physical beings, and we certainly can see each other. And Christ says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are going to be, at that point, a spirit being, and you'll be like the wind. You will be invisible to human eyes. That's what this is talking about. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, clearly states here that if you're born again, born of the Spirit, you're like the wind. No one can see you. Now, this is not a trivial subject. This is at the heart and core of our entire purpose and for being here on this earth. And Jesus Christ and God expects us to understand this and to be able to get this right and understand this very important instruction from Jesus Christ. Notice verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "Well, how can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Are you a master of Israel, or are you a leader of Israel, and know not these things?" You see, it's not okay for us to not know these things. Now, we do have to be taught, but we have to have our minds opened. We have to be open to the instruction that God gives us, open to the instruction that Jesus Christ gives us. And again, like so many other subjects in the Bible, it's here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, as we've emphasized before, you have to take all of the different pieces of the puzzle and put them together and not take one thing out of context and just have preconceived, prejudged, prejudiced ideas because, well, that's what we've been taught or that's what we've always believed or that's what we've always heard. So we do need to study into this subject. We really do need to understand it clearly. Jesus Christ here says, look, you cannot see the kingdom of God except you are born again. I mean, this is our entire purpose, is to be born into the kingdom of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we cannot see that, or we can't be a part of that fulfillment unless we are born again. I mean, that's vitally important instruction. This is a vitally important subject. And he says very clearly, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And when you are, you'll be like the wind, where people can't tell from where it comes. It is invisible.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us today online also at kpcg.fm. If you've missed any past episodes of Live by Every Word, you can find those archives also at kpcg.fm. Make sure you go to thetrumpet.com and request our free booklet, Just What Do You Mean Born Again? This booklet ties in to today's program. And here's the synopsis for the booklet. Don't be too sure you know what it means to be born again. Many professing Christians sincerely believe they have been born again, but do not understand what Jesus meant by those words. The true answer is not only surprising, it is startling. The most important truth you can know, here made so plain, you will understand. You can understand the topic of being born again. What does that really mean? It has a very deep meaning, but it's not what most professing Christians think. Request our free booklet, Just What Do You Mean Born Again? You can find that at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. The Greek word used here in John 3 the English word born is geneo, G-E-N-N-A-O. In the New Testament Greek, they did not have two words to differentiate between being begotten or actually being born. Like in the English language, we have more than one word to be able to have more precise meaning. The Strong's Concordance defines this word geneo this way: to procreate, and can be translated as bear, beget, to be born, to bring forth, conceive, to be delivered of. You see, so there are all of these different words that we have in English to where we can get even more precise with what we're actually talking about. And specifically here in English, we have two separate words, distinct words for this process of begettal, and then leading all the way up to being born. In the King James, the word geneo is used in the New Testament, and it can at times mean begotten. At other times, it means birth or to be born. And really, it's in the context that you have to look to determine what the Greek word actually is denoting. Now, we need to understand this because there is a physical type to what we're talking about when we talk about being born spiritually. There is the physical type. Before a human being can physically be born, the baby must be begotten. Now, spiritual begettal is also talked about in the Bible, and that comes before the spiritual birth. We must be begotten first. Spiritual begettal must take place first, or we can never come to the point of being born. So how are we begotten spiritually, and when is one spiritually begotten? Well, in Acts 2 and verse 38, it talks about the fact that we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's when the Spirit of God enters our mind, when God gives us the down payment, earnest, if you will, of His Spirit of eternal life dwelling inside of us. We have to repent. We have to be forgiven of our sins. We have to be baptized. And then we come up out of that water, out of that watery grave. We'll talk about this more in other programs about baptism. But you come up out of that watery grave. Romans 6 talks about that. And then a minister, a true minister of Jesus Christ, lays hands on you and asks God in prayer to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the beginning of our begettal into the family of God, although it's still in the state of being like an embryo, not yet born. Now, this is actually why Jesus Christ mentioned being born of water first. That's in John 3 and verse 5, what we read before the break. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. And he mentions the water first. That is the spiritual begettal. And that's when you are forgiven of past sins and you are baptized and you receive the wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit. And upon receiving that gift of God's Holy Spirit, you become actually a member of God's spiritual family. That's why we're called, true Christians are called throughout the Bible, we're called the children of God. And we are, in fact, once baptized, we are the children of God. If you're baptized and you receive God's Holy Spirit, you already are the children of God. You have been begotten as a member in that spiritual family, only it's in embryo. And then we grow. We're begotten, but not yet born. And we have to grow inside the womb of the mother, which is the church. It's a perfect analogy to what takes place physically. And then it leads to something spectacular. Romans 1, again, I'll just hit a few verses here. Verse 3 says, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. We've talked about this in previous programs, but verse 3 is talking about Jesus Christ being born humanly. And he was of the seed of David according to the flesh. See, he was born one time. He was born one time as a human being, and that which is flesh is flesh. What we just read, and he came through the line of David. Verse 4 really is comparing another birth, of second birth, being born again. And it defines how that happens. And he was declared, verse 4, to be the Son of God with power. See, no longer of the flesh, but of the Spirit, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is what your Bible clearly teaches about being born of the flesh and then being born of the Spirit. The first birth is of a human mother through the lineage of a father, just like Christ was the seed of David according to the flesh, but then declared to be the Son of God with power by a resurrection from the dead. And that birth was according to the Spirit. Colossians 1, talking about Jesus Christ here, verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He was born, the firstborn into the family of God. Now, he wasn't the first human being to ever be born. Thousands and millions of human beings were born before Jesus Christ. But he is the firstborn of the Spirit by a resurrection from the dead. He's the first one, the first. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that's very consistent with what we've studied in John 1, Ephesians 3 and verse 9, and here you could add these verses to that. And then let's notice verse 18 specifically, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, just like it said in verse 15, but notice what's added here, the firstborn from the dead. This is obviously when we're born again. Yes, there is a begettal process that takes place at baptism and with the receiving of God's Holy Spirit, and you're begotten into the family of God in the embryonic state. And then you grow inside the mother. The church is the mother of us all, as Galatians says, the Apostle Paul wrote it to the Galatians. But then you have to grow within that womb, grow until you are to the point of being born. And Jesus Christ is the only one that has been born into the family of God. And as Romans 1 and verse 4 says, just like here in Colossians 1 and verse 18 says, he was the firstborn, and it came by a resurrection from the dead. Now, how much more clear could God be on this subject? There's no need to be confused about it. And look, if it's different from what you've been told, we certainly don't want to offend anyone. We just want you to be taught and to be educated about what God's Word actually says. And you can study into this, and we're offering you literature where you can study into this more thoroughly on your own, and you can prove for yourself. As we always say, don't believe us, don't believe a man, just believe your Bible. Just study the Word of God, see what it actually says, be honest with yourself, be honest with others, get rid of all kinds of preconceived ideas, and just believe what God's Word actually says. And it does take some study, but it also takes some humility and being willing to be taught. Romans 8 and verse 29 says, talking here about the Son of God, just the last statement there in that verse, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ, just like it says there in Colossians 1 and verse 18, he was the firstborn from the dead. But again, he's just the first to be born among many brethren, many to follow. Many to follow. They will be born again by a resurrection from the dead. They will be born into the God family with power, not begotten, not in an embryonic state, certainly not born of the flesh like we are right now, but born of the Spirit, born again into the family of God. And Jesus Christ, that has already happened by a resurrection from the dead, as these verses clearly state. But he was only the first. There are many to follow, many to follow. You see, those who are faithful to the calling of God will grow inside the mother's womb. They'll grow inside the church. And eventually they're going to be born again by a resurrection from the dead, born again by the Spirit, like Christ taught Nicodemus there in John 3, born again into that glorious kingdom of God. And when that time comes, we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. We're going to look just like him. 1 John 3 talks about that. You read it for yourself, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. We're going to see him as he is, and we're going to look like him. And we do have to do some growing. Verse 3 of 1 John 3 says that if you have this hope, if you understand this, then you purify yourself even as he is pure. And you can look at Revelation 1 and see what Jesus Christ looks like in full glory. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This speaks of this wonderful future that we're talking about when we are born again as immortal, glorified sons of God. The Apostle Paul teaching here, and we'll pick it up in verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. See, born once of the flesh, born again of the Spirit, of the earthy and of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. What about people who say the kingdom of God is in your heart? Well, that's impossible. We're flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul's instruction here is perfectly in harmony with what Jesus Christ was teaching to Nicodemus there in John 3. Paul was not confused about born again and about that subject. He wasn't confused like Nicodemus and so many others have been. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." It's talking about being dead. "But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You see, those dead at the return of Jesus Christ, when he does come to establish his kingdom on earth, they're going to be resurrected incorruptible, spirit-born children of God. That's what this is talking about. And the Apostle Paul is teaching exactly the same thing that Jesus Christ was teaching Nicodemus. Verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, and that happens with being born again by a resurrection from the dead. This is exactly what Jesus Christ was explaining to Nicodemus when he said, no one will see or enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again first. Now, what we've been talking about here today is the very reason that life exists on this planet. You need to know the truth about Christ's very own instructions and words regarding the subject of being born again. God is creating a family. He wants human beings to be born again by a resurrection from the dead into that family. And it starts with begettal. You must be baptized, forgiven of sin, and receive God's Holy Spirit. And then you must grow as a human baby does inside the womb of a mother until finally you come to the actual birth. How clear were Christ's own instructions to Nicodemus? "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.